Lenore, I'd like to welcome you to Afternoon Jazz here on KVLU.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to talk to you, and I'm glad to enjoy. You're enjoying the music. Thank you.
A lot. And I.
Thank you.
I just wanted to start at an area that I just find very interesting. Can you talk a little bit about your background and your work in jazz education?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I started out studying classical music, and then majored in music ed in college, and I thought I was going to be a music teacher full time, but then I realized that wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. But I did have a lot of private students, and they wanted to learn classical, some of them wanted to learn jazz, and I started out doing teaching both to students, and then realized that I really enjoyed teaching jazz more because of the freedom that I could express and the freedom that the students could express as well. And, you know, have written a couple of theory books and just basically believe in teaching jazz as far as, you know, students are concerned, teaching them to be creative and not be afraid to take chances. And I'm very involved with the Jazz Educators now, the IAJE,
right,
in terms of going out to schools and doing workshops and clinics, yeah. So it's a part of what I do, but it's fun.
What I've always wondered about that aspect, too, is, you know, how do you, I don't think teach is the right word, how do you equip a student to learn how to improvise?
Well, you know, the theory is everybody learns the theory, and the theory in jazz is not all that different than the theory in classical music. You know, I jokingly say, well, there's only 12 notes in the chromatic scale, so how much can you do with it?
Yeah.
But it's a question of, you can learn the basic theory, but then the improvisation has to come from the individual. And, of course, the way to learn that is just simply listen to everyone, listen to everybody, and, you know, try to copy them. We all start out copying the people we admire. So that's how I started. I mean, I bought an Oscar Peterson CD, and I just kind of tried to play along with it. So that's how I started, was simply copying the people we admire. And then eventually, hopefully, we get our own thing going.
That develops from that, I understand.
Yeah, it should, hopefully. But listening, of course, is the cue, I think.
The song that you have on invitation, Blues for OP, for Oscar Peterson, I guess that takes on more of a meaning now to you?
Well, yes, much more. Of course, I was fortunate to go to Toronto last week, and that's when he passed away. And they had a great big memorial for him. And fortunate, as I said, in the fact that I was able to play a tribute to him at the time, and it was really something I've always wanted to do.
From a jazz piano player's perspective, what was unique about his music? What was different?
Gosh, well, other than phenomenal technique, which he did have, I think as far as his swing, you know, that feel, that pulse, that swing, he, to me, was the most swinging pianist of the ones that I've listened to.
Right.
Yeah. He was right in that, what we call the pocket.
right in the pocket, like Count Basie and his band, right?
Right in the pocket. There's a wonderful recording, by the way, of Oscar Peterson with Count Basie, just the two of them, that I love. And the two of them were right, you know. Peterson was playing with that tremendous technique, and every once in a while, Basie would come in with this. You know, Basie was a master of simplicity.
Yeah.
But the two of them together was just wonderful.
Great. Is there any songs that you did on there that maybe you hadn't done before, so it kind of took it up a notch being in the live setting?
That's a good question. I think one of them we did before, but not a lot, was Olio.
I love that song.
Yeah, okay, and I just kind of I'm one to spring things on people, and, you know, I just called it, and it worked.
That's one of the ones I play a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Sonny Rollins had he's one of those guys that, you know, you think of his playing, you know it, you love it, but you just sometimes you forget some of the great melodies that he came up with.
Yes, isn't that the truth? And you know, that you just hit one of my prime things is please play and write melody. You know, I don't know, people seem to be sacrificing melody for chord changes and harmonics these days. And, you know, for me, I always love a good melody.
Is that the right springboard for the solos?
Yes. For me, it is, because, and especially if there's a lyric, because, you know, somebody once said to me, what are you hearing when you improvise? And I said, well, I'm hearing two things. I'm hearing the melody and I'm hearing the lyric. You know, so I suggest to all my students and anybody who wants to play jazz is listen to the lyric and understand that. And then you'll always play the tune the way it should be played.
I love that concept. But can you, is there a standard that you can think of right now that you love the lyric and you've played it or maybe haven't played it yet?
Yeah, let's see, that's probably My Foolish Heart, yeah, which is on that CD.
Yeah.
And, yeah, sure, yeah, I try to, you know, I'm hearing that lyric as well as the melodic line, sure.
I think that's what makes those ballads good, when you hear someone play one and you're singing the lyrics in your head at the same time.
Definitely, because, you know, playing or improvising is really talking. And what it really is it's talking through your instrument. And the first instrument was the human voice. So if you can convey this kind of question, answer, call, response thing in your instrument, I think that's really the trick of a good solo, is you're supposed to be talking.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I guess it does.
It does make sense, and I think maybe that's an aspect of it that when people don't quite hear it or get it, they should maybe take that into consideration.
I think so. You know, one of the things that they did at the jazz convention this past week was talk about the lyric and how it affects the improvisation. And it was a very interesting discussion, because somebody said, well, if I was talking to you like this and I just went on and on and on in a run-on sentence, after a while you would tune out.
Yeah.
But if I speak to you in phrases and you respond to me with phrases, then we're going to listen to each other, which I thought was, wow, right on, you know.
Yeah. Well, it is. It makes you kind of wonder. It makes you think about speeches and poetry and everything.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, poetry and lyrics is saying the most with the least amount of words.
Yeah.
So if you can say the most with the least amount of notes, you really got something going.
unless the time's right for a lot of notes, right?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, when you want to show off a little bit. but at least, you know, having the option to do both is kind of nice.
Going from the solo and the playing aspect, I wanted to ask you about the ensemble. What are your thoughts on the piano trio?
That particular trio, or in general?
In general, when you play with just the bass and the drums, is that your favorite arrangement?
It really is. It really is, because each person brings their own thing to the whole. And, you know, I think that trio that I recorded with, we have one recording that we did before that, A Beautiful Friendship,
yeah,
together. And somebody commented that whatever it is that happens between the three of us, it's Hilliard Green on bass and Rudy Lawless on drums.
Yeah.
Something happens when the three of us get together. There is such communication. And, we have a good time together personally, too, you know. And that makes a difference. And somebody commented, they said that when the three of you play together, you can hear that there is this huge amount of communication and respect. And I think that's true. And I think that's what made Oscar Peterson's and Bill Evans' trios so effective, was the people in the trios really understood each other and were happy to work together, which makes the whole thing work, you know?
Okay, yeah, so it definitely shines through.
Mm-hmm, sure. It can be heard and felt. actually, I think.
Interesting. Are there any other combo ideas that would interest you in the future, you know, adding a certain element to it?
Well, I've been thinking about doing something with trumpet, too.
Really, why?
Well, for a very good reason, I wrote a tune called Miles, and I would love to hear somebody play it on trumpet and record it. It's, you know, it's a ballad, and I think it needs that. So, yeah, I'd love to work with the trumpet, but that'd be fun.
How did Miles' music affect you or influence you? Is there a particular period?
Well, a master of not playing a lot.
Again,
okay. Do what notes, you know, playing jazz is a question of knowing what notes to play, but also what notes not to play. And he was a master of that. And so was Chet Baker, by the way. And so the two of them really knew that a phrase was the most important thing. And don't play a lot, but say a lot. Ooh, that's good. I like that.
I like that. I like
me
that.
Me too. I just came out. So.
And to me, Chet's... There was a seamless space between his trumpet and his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he could just pull that trumpet away from his mouth and just sing, it was just seamless.
Exactly. And I recently had the pleasure of working with one of the drummers that worked with Chet for years, Art Frank.
Yeah, yeah.
And Art said, you know, the extreme compliment. He said, "Well, you do something that Chet Baker did." And I said, "Well, what's that?" I wasn't even aware of it. He said, "You play in layers." I said, "What is that?" He said, "Well, you start, you know, down at the bottom, and you build, and you build, and you build, and you come back again to the bottom." And Chet did that. And I just assumed everybody does that. But he says, "No, not everybody does that." So, oh, okay.
Wow. So is that considering everything? Is that considering the actual building of the phrase and the dynamics? And
Yes. And dynamics was the other thing he mentioned. He says, "Boy," he says, "you know, you're loud, you're soft, you're this." Yeah. And a lot of people just play loud.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, you know, I think when you're a young player, I mean, you know, age-wise, you really feel it's important to play everything. But as maturity kind of comes, you realize that that's not really the most important thing. You know, it's just I think it's a development process.
Okay, I can understand that. Mm-hmm. Sort of a mastering of technique, and therefore to master it, you have to work it in.
Realizing that you don't have to say everything, right? But that's a process.
It's a process. Is it good to be on the other side of that, I imagine? I guess.
At this point, it's good and it's necessary, I think, you know. But, yeah, I think it is good because it makes you think a little bit more about the music you're playing and why you're playing it.
On this particular album, Invitation, I wanted to round things up with picking a tune from the album to play and just give me your perspective on it.
Yeah, there are two that I guess, for whatever reason, sort of, well, obviously Blues for OP for the obvious reason,
yes,
because
sure.
I did dedicate it to Oscar, and I did try to get his feel into it, and I think I succeeded, I don't know. But that and the tune Invitation itself, there's something very haunting about that song, and you know, again, it's the lyric that struck me in Invitation and the melody. And it's sort of an offbeat chord structure, you know. It's got this dark quality. And a lot of people tell me they don't want to play it. The tune is a little dark.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
that's
for sure.
Okay. Not everything has to be, you know. And, of course, I love Joy Spring.
Yeah.
Was it the Clifford Brown,
yeah.
It was, Clifford was my first influence in playing jazz, so.
Really?
Yeah, well, yeah, the trumpet, right.
Again, I said, come back to the trumpet, yeah.
Yeah.
And these great lyrical players, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The song Invitation, I played it yesterday, actually.
Uh-huh.
And I just, please, just let me know, where did it come from?
From a movie.
Really?
Not sure which movie it is, but Branislav Kaper wrote it, and he also wrote On Green Dolphin Street. And
yeah.
He was a great movie music writer. And I'm not sure what movie it came from, but it did come from a movie.
Came from a film, wow. Is it interpreted often, or is it kind of one that just gets kind of obscure, would you say? Or?
It's interesting, since I recorded it, and I don't know if it's just the fact that I'm noticing it, but mm-hmm. I'm seeing more and more people recording that tune.
Wow.
So it could be that it was one of those gems that people said, forgot, it happens. Or I'm just noticing that now people seem to be recording it more.
Yeah, I understand what you say. There's songs that I've become familiar with, and I see it all the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A Child is Born is like that for me.
Yeah, oh, right. Oh, another beautiful tune. Right.
I hadn't heard that. I heard that song 2 years ago for the first time, and now I see, like, I see The Child is Born all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, noticing it because you're aware of it.
Because you're aware of the beauty of the tune, or as you say, the mood and the texture.
And perhaps people do stay away from it. The chord changes are a little tricky.
A little tricky.
It goes through a lot of keys and chord changes, and they tend to be a little tricky. And vocalists stay away from that tune. It's tough.
You've done a wonderful job on that album.
Thank you.
It really struck me, and I'm glad you mentioned that particular tune.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites for whatever reason. The melody really gets me.
The last thing I wanted to ask you is one that I throw in every once in a while, and it's kind of a broad-based question, but I get this one sometimes, and I try to. I don't know how. I don't think I do the best job explaining because you kind of have to get it. But what would you tell somebody jazz is?
Technically, you mean from a logical? Okay, jazz is the blending of African rhythms with Western harmonies. How's that? But that's not what it is. Jazz is, I think. Well, first of all, it has to swing for me anyway.
Yeah.
It must have that swing. We say in the pocket, whatever. And it is that plus the expression of the individual. I think that's what makes it so unique, is that each person brings their own signature to the music, and it's how the music affects them and what they want to express with it, which makes it such a jazz, I guess you can say, is syncopated freedom. How's that?
I like that. That's a good way to put it, because sometimes somebody will come across you if you're doing this in some fashion, playing on the radio or whatnot, and they'll say, can you tell that a saxophonist? And you're right, they're individual, they're their own voice, and yes, you can tell Stan Getz from Lester Young. And
yes, you can. There's no question. Yeah. And for me, the greatest compliment would be if somebody heard me and said, I know who that is, you know. It's happened once or twice where somebody said, I knew it was you right away. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And yeah, and it's definitely, can happen with the piano, without a doubt. It's like,
I know Oscar by one note.
Yeah.
And I know Bill Evans by hearing one note. And I know Bud Powell by hearing, you know, a line, a bebop line.
Exactly.
So yeah, I can differ an Art Tatum.
Art Tatum by knowing about about 10 notes in that one note space.
But a monster, like defied aerodynamics.
Exactly, he was traveling at a different speed.
Definitely, yeah. I don't know how he did that.
I don't either. His fingers didn't leave his hand. Imagine.
You know, he was amazing. It's just everything was, you know, harmonically and technically and melodically, it was all there. Yeah.
I just want to thank you for talking with me, Lenore. I really wish you the best. And
pleasure.
And,
thank you.
And maybe we can talk again as well as the music goes forward. And
would love to. I'm planning another recording this year, so I will definitely send it to you.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. Come up in the spring? You working on it in the spring? Or?
And it actually might be a tribute to Chet Baker. So
wonderful.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Wow, that's wonderful. Look forward to that.
Thank you. Thank you for being so nice.
Oh, thank you for being on the show.
Okay, I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And now from Lenore Raphael's album, Invitation Live, we're going to hear her composition, Blues, for Oscar Peterson, here on Afternoon Jazz, KVLU 1.